I must decrease so that he may increase. We just sang the song, huh? I may decrease. And why is it so important that we decrease? Are we meant to be little people or belittled people? A lot of people think, and we'll learn through the word today, that being little is to be little. Like, oh, I need to be frail that people can pick on me. To be little is not what he's talking about here. Decrease is not in the power or what you do for God. Increase is not more of what we are. And the world thinks that increase is that the richer I get, the better I am. Anybody agree with that? The richer I am, the better I am. Well, I kind of agree with that because I can do some pretty good money things with God's riches. I'm not going to be selfish. I'll bless all of you. Now I get an amen. Hallelujah. We've all heard the scripture said, when I am weak, he is strong. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the word. We've heard these slogans, haven't we? And you know what? We've got to learn through today's word today that meek is not weak. And decrease is not crushed. But it's actually in a higher place of God. As the Lord, the more I humble myself, the greater God becomes in me, the greater God becomes to everyone else. Amen? And so we're going to be talking, I must decrease so that he may increase. But does God want us to be weak and subdued? No. We must know that our God is what he can do. Are you hearing me? We need to know what God can do through us and what he can do in our life. And you know what? If we don't have the revelation and the knowledge, it's like when he talks about the good seed going on the ground. And a lot of times we come into church and we got good seed, good word, good preaching. We're on the radio. I walked in yesterday and the ladies had this. I made them a CD that I thought would be a good CD for them. They didn't have the TV on all day. But when I went out and looked, I thought, I can make you a CD. Then I started listening to the worship that was on. It was so powerful. That's good seed. Anytime something's being planted in our life in the things of God, it's good seed. But so often, this is how we are. We're like that dry, hard ground. Now the seed comes, and yet the birds of the air or the wind comes and blows it away. Because we don't get revelation or the depth of what's being taught behind the pulpit. No, you're not stupid and you're not ignorant. You're not nothing. It's not like, oh, I'm just here for no reason. I'm not going to come nowhere. The enemy is the thief which comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Distractions in our life, the things that distract us from the message, is taken away from the revelation of God. Revelation is the most powerful word there is. Now, it's not the last name of the book, the Revelation of John. If you look in your Bible, it'll say the Revelation of John. It's not that type of revelation. The revelation is the word of God that was spoken to John. The word that he got and the insight that what God was taking him made him so powerful because the revelation gave him power. And that's what we need to understand today, that when we speak, you need to say, devil, when before you come to church, you just say, when I said, Lord, wait on the Lord this morning in worship, and said, we're going to wait on you. We're not going to let the other distractions of the world and the air and the dirt and the foul and the devil steal those things from him, because the things you're going to learn today, you're going to take into eternity. They're not going to be stolen from you. When something comes to get your children, you're going to say, stop, I rebuke you, devil. And you're going to understand why you can rebuke the devil, because you have revelation of who God is in your life and what he can do. Go and read the book of John this morning, chapter 3. Have your Bibles, bring your Bibles, because we don't know what's going to happen. But it does happen sometimes. Oh, wasn't it always on Channel 3, though, guys? Anyways, I thought I had a brainstorm. John chapter 3 and verse 22. We're going to go on. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aaron near Salim, and because there was much water there, and they were baptized. And they came and they were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who has with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. And John answered him and said, a man cannot receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness of me that I said that I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but a friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the kingdom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all, and he that has seen and heard, he testifies. And no one receives this testimony. He who received his testimony has certified that God is true. For whom the God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. I must decrease so that he may increase. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, revelation from heaven, unless it be sent from above, it is not from above. Lord, if it be merely from a man, it would just be man's word. But this is not man's word. This word is God's word. And Lord, this morning, let the revelation of its word be manifest in us. Lord, I just bear witness of it, Lord. I bear witness of it as I speak about it today. But you are the living God. You are the living word. Produce a harvest in our lives today, Father. That, Lord, to have humility, to humble ourselves is a greater work than to ever exalt or try to be something we're not. And more than that, God, I thank you that you're working within all of us this morning to bring us all to that greater point of God, things of above, for we have eternal life in you. Lord, we have no eternal life in any other God or any other thing. But today, bring revelation of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. We just sang the song, I must decrease that you increase, Lord. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him by heaven. He's talking about the spiritual things. You know, there's a lot of the godly things out there that, in the world today. There's a lot of things that represent the things of God. Larry's teaching a lesson, and we were talking about the men's, about intermingling, or what was the word used to break the barrier, to breach the things of God in our life. And we need to understand there's a lot of things that represent God out there today in the earth, but they're not our God. They're not our God. Someone said to recently in a Christian meeting, he said, all gods are the same. It's how we worship that we need to understand something. That's a lie from hell. Because my word said that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the God of gods. So there is not. We need to understand that he says, I am the true God. And all things that come from heaven are from heaven. We need to understand something. That there's things in religions being spoken today that are not God. You do not strap a bomb to your body and go kill people. Nowhere in the Bible does that ever been said. Oh, he's a God of peace, really. He just wants to kill all his enemies. Didn't God's people go to war? Yeah, they went war to take back and release their people to go where they live and to occupy the land they already owned. Come on, somebody. We serve a God. Listen to this. And you know what? We don't have to get bolder or badder to understand God. See, we don't fight our fights. He fights our fights. I must decrease that he can increase. And everything else that we do to be successful, we must become greater. But in the things we do for God, we must become less. In the world, you got to be the richest. You got to have more. You got to be this. You got to be more famous. You got to be everything else. And the people are all so famous at one time, they want to come back and be famous again. I was watching this movie. It's called Grudge Match. These two old fighters. Who would want to go see that? These two old guys beating up each other and stuff like that. But that's what fame does. Once you have fame, you can never get enough. Once I get too much money, it's never enough. There's never enough of anything. And that's what the things of the world call success, but God does not. He says, I must increase that he may decrease. I may decrease that he may increase. Thank you, Lord. So, but the world says we must become, the things of God says we must become love. How does that make any sense? And we're going to get the answers today in the Word of God. The revelation of God and more about the Holy Spirit. See, in any other place, They have to pray to a God that is afar. Any other religion, they have to pray to a God that's afar. But God said, I have brought more than I have left, but I have left you and sent to you a more comforter, a Holy Ghost. We never have to search out God, for once we know who He is, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We never have to do something that we know is wrong to prove right to our God. We only have to do what is right. Hallelujah. I must decrease and He must increase. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Listen to this. Matthew 5. We're going to go to the Beatitudes. Anybody know what the Beatitudes are? You ever heard the word, the Beatitudes? But he thinks it's a real holy and scriptural word. Beatitude. It's the Beatitudes. Listen, Matthew 5 and 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11 says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Woo! 12, blessed or rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This scripture is known as the Beatitudes because it's the attitude we should be known for. Did you hear that? Beatitude. Beatitudes. These are the attitude that people should see on us. That we are so blessed because we do the things that God asks us to do. The Beatitude is God saying, this is the attitude I'm asking you to take, and this is the lifestyle, this is the way your mindset should be, putting on the mind of Christ. This is the way the Lord was, and the way He walked, and this is the way He taught. Even those that came to Him and said, Lord, a mother came one time for her sons, and I'm sure they had a part of it, and the lady came up behind the Lord and said, hey, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, when you become the big chief, the big cheese, the big boss, I want my sons to sit at your right hand and your left hand. They're going to be right under you. They're going to be right in charge. Can you do that? And the Lord answered her, and the attitude He does, said, yes, if they can drink the cup that I'm about to drink of. Are we willing to drink the cup? Do we have the attitude that say we will lay down our lives for Him? I want to be great in your kingdom. Am I willing to give up everything like He did? Or is it because I want to have a high position, I want fame, I want glory? Or is it that I want to lay down my life that I will increase so that you can decrease? Come on, somebody. Listen. The scripture is known to be attitudes because it's the attitude we should be known for, the humility we walk in. Our lives are not our own, but live for God's glory. Look at Matthew 5 and 3 again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God doesn't want you to be poor. He does not want you to be poor. Man, there's a misconception here. Greater are the poor. No, God can get His work done. He needs us. He really does. He doesn't need us. He'll pour into somebody that He can trust. But He wants to bless you. God's whole plan was to bless you. He doesn't want you to be poor, but He doesn't want the riches of this world destroying your life. For the love of money will destroy you. For the love of man and the things of the world will destroy you. Whoo. He says, He wants us to have an abundant life and for us to prosper even as our soul prospers. Poor in the spirit doesn't mean poor in our pockets or our bank account. He's talking about being rich in the eyes of the world, the rich and the famous. Remember that show we used to watch? The Rich and the Famous, that English guy. You know, I forget his name now. The Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous. You remember that? And we watch it every week. Man, I wish I had that. But God wants His favor seen on you. He doesn't want the riches and the famous, the way their life to be. He wants it to be seen how we live and how God can prosper each one of us. See, God will bless you beyond your measure if He can trust you with it. He wouldn't know nothing to take you away from His kingdom. because he already gave his life to pay for the kingdom for you. Glory to God. Meek in the spirit is not weak in the mind or a weak person. The word says he shall rise up like eagles. And the eagle represents the strongest of all birds. Rise up like eagles. Come on, are we rising up tonight? Are we soaring with the eagles? Amen. Proverbs 27 and 17 says this, an iron sharpens iron. So does a man sharpens the confidence of his friend. Iron is a steel strong material, and Christians are supposed to strengthen one another, not tear down and break. Come on. I must decrease that he may increase. Christians, man, the more and more I see about it, we have more unkind things to say about each other than we have good things. We do. We complain about them. I must decrease that he may increase. What do you mean that, Pastor? These people are coming against me. I'm going to show you. So we're weak by humbling ourselves. Matthew 5 and 6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Oh, you just think that you're better than them or everyone else? Well, you should try to be. You think you're just better than everybody else? You should try to be. So you think you're just somebody else's Christian? You should try to be. And that's what people see as Christians. Oh, you just think you're better than everybody else. Well, you should try to be. Come on. Because he said, be holy, for I am holy. No, but not self-righteous either. Not in judging condition. So sometimes we do. Have you ever been to the point where you're able to judge somebody else because you're doing so good? I know people like that, Christians. Man, when they're in the world, they're the best sinners. And when they're in God, they're the most righteous Christians too. Oh my God. They could tell you everything you're doing because they're doing so well right now. I must decrease so that he can increase. And I'm only doing well for my own life because I need it in my life. I am not doing so well in my life for everybody else's judgment. Amen? I must decrease so that he can increase. Matthew 5 and says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. Are you being merciful and tolerant? Or do you deserve more than you're giving out? I must decrease that he can increase. Mercy. Sometimes we think, and we're such givers, but where's our mercy level here? Are we being just as merciful as God is to us? Are we being just as tolerant? You don't know what they did, Pastor. And then I could think, well, I just heard something about you too. Never mind. It's only a ministry. I had to hear it. Just kidding. I try to shut that off. People start to tell me something. I said, shut it down. What are you doing? What's going on? There's always two sides to a story. You ever know that? Especially in marriage counseling. Don't ever counsel one person. I'm telling you, if you're hearing a story at a table and say to stop, you know, let's pray, because you'll get one-sided. You'll hear one side. You'll start to judge one-sided. And there's always two sides to a story. Be fair. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5 and 8. Motives, are we doing the work for God, or is we doing the work for others to be seen by? What are our motives? Pure heart. Am I serving God with a pure heart, or am I doing to be seen? We explained it on Thursday night. Someone was talking to me, and they said, what did you mean by that? I said, because I can tell you, hey, here's your reward if you want to do something for me. Hey, Cindy, she did this great thing yesterday. Don't worry, you're still going to get it because you didn't say it. Did this great thing yesterday, and she told she wanted me to remind you all how much she collected yesterday and how much work she did. I just wanted to tell you all that. She asked me if I would do that. Just so you know, great, good job, Cindy. No, she didn't really. But people are like that. What, are you going to announce what we did yesterday, Pastor? Come on. Are you doing it for them, or are you doing it for God?
Right.
She didn't do that. I'm just telling you right now. But we do that sometimes. And look what the Bible says. The Bible says that she's already got her reward.
Right.
This is what the Bible says. She's already got a reward. God has another reward. It says, do the things in secret. I must decrease that he may increase. Amen? our attention's pure. Proverbs 16:2 says, the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Matthew 5:9-11 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted. And say all kinds of, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. If people are talking to you and it has no thing, don't worry about it. If someone is saying something, you're about ready to be blessed beyond your socks. Well, you don't know what they're saying, Pastor. I know someone's talking about me. Let them!
Let them!
Let them! Right. You're about to be blessed beyond all measure. Don't enter into it, because you'll still get your victory stolen. You start talking about them, and then you're entering both into a sin, and both shall fall by the wayside. Come on. How do you decrease? By making peace or taking persecution and the hate that comes from being a true Christian. Because that's what he did for us and the whole world who will receive it. You got to understand something. When we can't understand what's going on in the church, when we get upset about what's going on in the church, you need to understand something. Jesus went through it. Go through it. Don't leave. Don't abandon it. Don't leave your cross. Don't get in there and say, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. No, hang in there. Bear your cross. Jesus did it. They persecuted him. They said false things against him. They did all this other stuff. He did it. And you know what? He says, if you'll do it, if you'll increase, if you decrease, I will increase in your life. How can we go through it? He did. Jesus took it all upon himself. Look at this, Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as were our faces from him. He do it, and we still do it today. We still hide our faces from. Listen, if we're being persecuted and things are going on, we know what's right and we do something else. We hide our face from him. Listen, surely he has borne our griefs, verse 4, and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. The torment. Anybody ever get tormented? Are you ever tormented? Man, I'll tell you what, when you're angry, you don't even realize that you're being tormented in anger. You ever just get so frustrated? I know. And he bore that. I don't have to be angry. If I just decrease, he will increase. If I just say, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. I give it to you. I decrease. He begins to increase in our life. Oh, Lord, you don't know what they're doing to me. They did this and that. Decrease and watch how God starts to move and manifest in the situation. Start to decrease in life. Like, Lord, you know, I need a little less. And, oh, you know what? Maybe I need to start promoting somebody else, giving somebody else a little more credit. You know what I mean? As soon as I begin to decrease in something and promote maybe something else of God or something else, you always got to be in front. You always got to be in charge. Let somebody else start doing it. Start training somebody else. Start decrease a little bit and let God increase a little bit, and you watch what happens. Verse 6 said, all we like a sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all fall short of the glory of God, people. Romans said it so clearly. We all fall short of the glory of God. But you know what? All you got to do is decrease. You know what? You don't have to turn around. Just back up a little bit. Say, Lord, I need you in this situation. I need you to increase in here. For we have all gone astray. All. And all of our sins was laid upon him. Jesus came from heaven, royalty, Son of God, in the form of a man, decreased in stature. He is God and was despised, and we did not esteem him. God in the form of a man and a human being. And the reason he had to become a human being is because a God could do all that he did. but he had to be doing it like a man, like the rest of us. Like you have to go through it, and you have to go, and then you have to go through it. Jesus had to become a man. He was a royalty. He was the Son of God in heaven, came down into this filthy world, came down into, was born a man, had to suffer the same consequences, suffer the same thing, had to work every day, had to do all that stuff, had to raise up. He had to bear all the problems. He had to take everything upon him. If you ever said, oh man, I don't know what, God knows what I'm going through. I'm telling you, I'm waking up, pray for me. My shoulder's hurting. I'm already sleeping right now. Shoulder's hurting. My hips kind of hurting. I don't proclaim that, but I want prayer from the church. Pray for me. Just pray for me. But I'll tell you what, Jesus went through all that too. And I'll suffer through anything I can, because you know what? I need him to increase in my life. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Because of our sins, he was smitten and afflicted by God, wounded and bruised for my transgressions. And by his stripes, we are healed. Who needs a healing today? Who needs a healing today? He paid the price for it already. This is our God. Let him increase in your life. If you know, we know all the hours and all the places and all those parts in our life that we need God to increase. And we know the areas in our life that we need to decrease. Every one of us. I don't have to tell you what it is, because the Holy Spirit is telling you today. I must decrease so that he may increase. Less of me and more of you, Lord. What pleases God when we do the things like yesterday? Feeding, going out to the market. How many had a good time doing it? I had a good time. I talked to a lot of people. Got answered prayer, didn't we? We prayed for a job. She got her job. Praise God. But that's what pleases God. What pleases the heart of God? What gives him pleasure? It's those things like yesterday, as a church and as a community coming out and gathering. Amen? Giving of ourselves for the well-being of others. I must decrease so that he may increase. Less of me and more of you, Lord. Attitude is everything to the Lord. Listen to this. Proverbs 16 and 19 says this. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The Lord was so pleased as we fed people. And those meals, he said, listen to this. I prayed as I was driving around. And as I was driving, I heard in my truck, I heard him say, you shall sit at my seat. Do you know what that means? You shall sit at my seat. And this is the thing that happened. I was driving. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? And he revealed it in my spirit. He said, when we come to that feast, you and your church shall sit at my table. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. We shall sit at his table. Luke 14 and 7 says this. So he told a parable to those that were invited. And when he noted that those, they close, and how close the best places, and how he noted how they chose the best places. Hold on, my eyes are all watery. Glory to God, hold on, I can't see. So he told the parable to those who were invited. And he noted that they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to the wedding feast, do not sit in the best place, lest one more honorable then you are and be invited by him. Listen to this. Listen, this is important. When you are invited by anyone to the wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, unless one more honorable than you are invited him, and he who invited will come and say to you, give place to this man. And when you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes to you and say, friend, go up hither or go up higher, then you will have the glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be excited. Come on. Come on. When you choose the lowly seat, when you choose to give up your spot, when you choose to do the things we did yesterday, when you choose to just serve God and say, you know, I don't care, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do what you say. He says, when it comes time, I will exalt you. When he said, you shall sit at my table, he said, I am well pleased with you. See, you don't just go in and take a seat. You go where you're invited. And he said yesterday that we shall sit at his table. The Bible says, when you think you're something, you're nothing. Who here today would say, I want more of the Holy Spirit and the power of God? That present that comes by the Holy Spirit. And whatever I'm doing, I can't get to that place. That's humbleness. See, everybody says, I want more. But will you admit that things in our life, I can't get there? See, the most powerful part, the most powerful place of decrease is at salvation. It's at the altar. It's the day that everything has been lifted off you, that God increases. Repentance says, Lord, I am wrong. I find myself at the lowest point of my life, God, the most lowly point of my life. I must decrease that he may increase. Why is that place of salvation so powerful? When we repent and set free, so powerful? Because we decrease and he increases. In closing, Philippians, go with me, Philippians, verse 3 in chapter 17. Why does he say return to your first love? Why does he say it's so important to return to your first love? To go back to that place of your lowest point when you were the greatest in me. When I worked so marvelous, when you decreased and I increased. Philippians 3 and 17 says this, brethren, sisters, join in the following my example and know those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those end is destruction. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizen is in heaven, and from which we are also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which is able to even subdue all things to himself. Only the lowly body will be conformed into his glorious body, because when we decrease, he increases. Let's stand this morning.